brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Here we are in the second week of Lent. Brothers and sisters, we're living through quite the time. And what one of the things it should do, because there's so many other things we can't do right now, it should call us to say, Lord, let me have my own house in order. Help me. Show me what it is that I need to change. Just take one thing. Just take one thing that I need to change to be more and more a true Christian before you. Oh, Lord, I love you. I love you. But I want to show you that in my own words, how much I love you. So let's take a look at the first reading with that in mind. Lord, great and awesome God, you who keep your merciful covenant toward those who love you and observe your commandments, we have sinned, been wicked, and done evil. We have rebelled and departed from your commandments and your laws. We have not obeyed your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Justice, O Lord, is on your side. We are shamefaced even to this day. We, the men of Judah, the residents of Jerusalem, and all Israel, near and far, in all the countries to which you have scattered them because of their treachery toward you. O Lord, we are shamefaced, like our kings, our princes, and our fathers, for having sinned against you. But yours, O Lord our God, are compassion and forgiveness. Yet we rebelled against you and paid no heed to your command, O Lord our God, to live by the law you gave us through your servants, the prophets. This is how so many of us are. Lord, please forgive me. And then we go off and do something else. Lord, please forgive me. And one leads to another, and slowly the prayer goes away. We don't turn to the Lord. We don't go to the sacrament of reconciliation. Oh, please, brothers and sisters, hear his word. Follow him. And when you fail, because we all fail, when you fail, confess it. Don't be afraid of that. All it does is bring God's grace more into your life than before. Justice, O Lord, is on your side. We are shamefaced even to this day. We, the men of Judah, the residents of Jerusalem, and all Israel, near and far, in all the countries to which you have scattered them because of their treachery toward you. O Lord, we are shamefaced, like our kings, our princes, and our fathers, for having sinned against you. But yours, O Lord our God, are compassion and forgiveness. Yet we rebelled against you and paid no heed to your command, O Lord our God, to live by the law you gave us through your servants, the prophets. God knows we're not perfect. He understands that. He knows that we will make mistakes. But what we have to do is ask forgiveness for those mistakes. You want to say, oh, it doesn't matter that much. Well, if you killed your brother, you know it cost a lot. You don't want to do that. Don't be deciding, no, I don't need to bring this to confession or that to confession. Accept the normal way we need to look at ourselves and say, I did this and I did it with a full intention of my will, and I'm wrong and I'm sorry. That's what God wants from us, a genuine admission of our mistakes and willingness to ask his forgiveness. And any time we ask his forgiveness, he will give it to us. O Lord, we are shamefaced, like our kings, our princes, and our fathers, for having sinned against you. But yours, O Lord our God, are compassion and forgiveness. Yet we rebelled against you and paid no heed to your command, O Lord our God, to live by the law you gave us through your servants, the prophets. We rebelled because we want to do our will. We want to do it our way. We want to do it in our timing. And how many times do each of us need to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, give me wisdom, give me courage to admit my mistake. And God will, immediately right there, God will give you grace, great grace. Don't just say, this doesn't matter, that doesn't matter, I don't like him, I don't like her, whatever the case may be, or I'm sick. Well, sickness sometimes has mitigations, yes, but still, if we've done something wrong, ask forgiveness. I remember when I first really began to learn this, that I honestly experienced a real freedom. Even before I went to confession, I experienced a real freedom that God loved me and God heard my prayer and God heard my apology and he forgave me. Don't miss that. I'm not saying that we're going to hear from God every time we turn to him, but just do what God is asking of us so that we might live with him forever. The responsorial psalm tells us, Lord, do not deal with us according to our sins. Remember not against us the iniquities of the past. May your compassion quickly come to us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God, our Savior, because of the glory of your name. Deliver us and pardon our sins for your name's sake. Let the prisoner's sighing come before you. With your great power, free those doomed to death. If right now you happen to be in jail for something, God will hear your prayer. Ask his help. He will never withhold it from you. Then we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. Through all generations, we will declare your praise. And how much we need that. We're all weighed down by mistakes, by faults, by sins. God has given us a way to set us free. Don't be afraid. The priest isn't going to jump up and leave the confessional. Don't. He's your brother in Christ. Share with him and know the grace and mercy of God that flows through him. We turn to the gospel now, Luke chapter 6, verses 36 to 38. Jesus said to his disciples, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. My goodness, I could speak about that for the next month. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. We can't do that on our own strength. But turning to God, if someone is unkind to us or somebody does something that's very hurtful to us, yes, that person needs to ask for forgiveness, yes, but it might take them a while or her. Please be merciful yourself. Please. And forgive the person. Don't harbor a grudge. All it does is destroy us internally. It eats at us. We may say, well, I'm not going to say anything until she says something to me. Don't do that. Open your heart and ask God, what would God do here? Because he will give you the grace. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed down, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. You know, when we stop judging so that we will not be judged, stop condemning and we will not be condemned. My goodness, brothers and sisters, well, we do it a lot, at least I think I do it a lot, where you make snap judgments. Please open your heart to say, I forgive. I forgive. I think those are two of the hardest words we can ever say. I forgive. They want to stick in our throat because we say, well, she did it, or he did it, or he started it, or she started it. We want to excuse ourselves in some way, and we can't do that. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you just a little story, very brief. But I remember one time doing exactly that, that I was judging another and I was trying to stay away from the person. And I thought, I can't keep doing this. I need to ask for forgiveness. And then I turned, asked God's forgiveness. And oh my goodness, it was like the presence of God came near. Nothing verbally, just a quiet sense that I was forgiven. It says, for the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. We want God's mercy. That's what we need. So please, brothers and sisters, please don't withhold forgiveness. Please. Kimberly Hahn, in an article, wrote this. I want to share just a part of it with you. She said, forgiveness does not depend on feeling forgiving. Rather, it is a matter of the will, determining to extend forgiveness and asking the Lord to help our emotions line up with our actions. It's hard sometimes, but when we forgive and truly forgive, God will send such grace to us. We see a powerful example of this in the life of Corrie ten Boom, a Christian whose family harbored Jews from the Nazis in Holland until someone betrayed them. Corrie and her sister and her father were arrested and sent to a concentration camp where her sister and her father died. Many years later, Corrie spoke to an audience in Germany, and the very guard who had been involved in her sister's death approached her, thanking her for her talk and asking her for forgiveness for what he had done. And she says, when the guard extended his hand, everything in Corrie's wanted to be just recoiled, everything in her being recoiled. And then she prayed that Christ would forgive him through her. She extended her hand. In that act, Christ flooded Corrie with forgiveness for this man who had been the answer or the instrument of such cruelty and suffering for her. Christ loved him through her and forgave him through her. And Christ can and will do this for us if we ask. Think of that. You don't know what our willingness to forgive. Ask God for grace, because every emotion inside of you at the very best is, well, I'll say something if that person says something first. No. No. What is your call? What's your role? It is to forgive. And that means to let go of it, not to harbor it in your mind. Let go. Set the other person free. God will abundantly bless you. May God keep you safe. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.